Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pacifica National Programming Committee. This is July 11th, 2021, Sunday, and it is now 2:34 Eastern Time. And I will. My name is Nancy Cyber, and I told me I'm the chair. I will now take roll call. WBAI, Jack Devine. Jack Devine, I do not hear you. KAOS, Jose Gutierrez. Jose Gutierrez, I do not hear you. KPFT, Wally James.
Here.
Wally is present. And WPFW, Thomas O'Rourke.
Present.
Thomas is present. From KPFK, Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Lydia is present. From WBAI, Ralph Pointer.
Present.
Ralph is present. From KPFK, Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence, I do not hear you. From KPFT, Nancy Cyber and I tell me, I'm present. From WBAI, Sharon Salam.
Present.
Sharon is present. From KPFA, Frank Sterling.
I'm here. Welcome, everyone.
Frank, present. Thank you. All right. From KPFA, Tom Voorhees.
Tom is here.
Tom is present. From KPFK, Harvey Wasserman. Harvey, I do not hear you. From KPFT, Sandy Wyman. Sandy Wyman, I do not hear you. We have quorum. We have seven. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, we have 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We got 8. Wow. Wonderful. Okay, let us start. Does anybody need the agenda? I sent around, let's see what time. I sent at 2:03 this morning, this afternoon. No, something like that, 2:03, I think. Okay, we have done the roll call, and our new quorum is 7 of 13 members, and the minutes are not ready. I apologize, not ready yet. And the agenda. Last time we had not finished the Pacifica in the Streets. We changed the wording a little bit, and then we did number 2, whistleblower. We talked about that and discussed that. And then number 3, I'm not sure if we got into the local programming committee at each station. And I just put them in that order. Would you like to change the order? Does anybody have a motion for that? If not, we'll just go right into it. Hearing nobody suggest. Okay, let's go into the Pacifica in the Streets, the breaking news. Whereas in order, okay, I'll read it for the audience. Whereas in, does anyone
Madam
need
Chair,
to send this? Yes,
point
yes,
of order.
Thomas, what is it?
You
yes.
also have an item, a fourth item on the Programmer Bill of Rights, correct? That's
yes,
in that the
point.
Agenda you sent at 1:54 my time. You included as an item number 4.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just thought I'd mention it. All right, thank you.
Yes, we've been wanting to do this for all last year and never got to it. So we've been at this a year and a half and haven't really touched it enough. Okay, and then we'll have public comment at 3 o'clock Eastern. Okay, thank you, Thomas, for reminding me. I didn't read that far down. Okay, here we go. Let's see the... Y'all listen to this and see how you feel. If you're ready to make a motion on this. Whereas in order for a station's breaking news to be timely, be it resolved, the PMB Programming Committee recommends that each station's management organize, if not already, a volunteer Pacifica in the Streets team deputized by the PD or GM with a list of the team and their contact info shared among the team and the list placed in the control room, allowing the programmer to verify the Pacifica in the Streets team members before allowing a 1 to 2 minute breaking news broadcast, which are unscheduled and spontaneous. It is recommended that this team meet at least weekly to exchange technical and cultural information. Would anybody like to add something to that or take something out or change something? Any of the programmers here or people who have done this kind of work? Frank, are you still on or did you leave? I think Frank is
I'm still here. It gets occasionally loud, so I have to keep on mute. Could you just read the second half again? I was a little distracted. I'm actually not in the most conducive environment for a meeting, but I'm listening.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Thank you.
Okay. That each station station's management organize, if they have not already, a volunteer Pacifica in the streets team, or a breaking news team, actually it's called, deputized by the PD and or GM, with a list of the team and their contact info shared among the team, and the list placed in the control room, allowing the programmer to verify the Pacifica in the streets team members before allowing a 1 to 2 minute breaking news broadcast, which are unscheduled and spontaneous. It is recommended that this team meet at least weekly to exchange technical and cultural information. Since you have to go, Tom and Frank, anybody has to go early, please give us your comments if you have.
Okay, Frank here. I would say, I think a recommended weekly meeting might be too much. Maybe I would say like once or twice a month. Once they establish themselves, they could just do text communication. I think would be a good idea, or maybe twice a month. That way it just wouldn't seem like an extra burden, especially since they're volunteers. And then it might be a good idea. I don't know. Okay, maybe it's not a good idea. Some people don't have like news directors or someone in charge of the news. But someone to make the call like, hey, this is breaking news. How do we get it on right now? Because when the pandemic started, and even before that, KPFA started doing a little more automated programming. So people were submitting their shows pre-recorded, and it's automated in. And you would have to have the one programmer that's there to man the boards be the one to break in. And who makes that call? Is it just that something happened at down the street that's not really news of the Pacific Commission? Maybe they break in for that, and it's controversial for that aspect. Or, like, of course, like maybe the police shot somebody, there's a crowd gathering down the street or something like that, you know? So that's kind of my question. Did we already decide on that? I know I missed last week, and I apologize. Like, who would make the call? Is there any news director involved that could help guide the sometimes a person at the station might just be a board op now manning an automated system as backup,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? So especially since the pandemic, I don't even think the overnight programmers have been in there. They've been submitting shows for automation.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
The weekly or
yeah, and then what hours? What hours? What hours would these people be on call as volunteers? Would it be like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. or are we going to ask them to come out in the middle of the night, like 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.? Is it just going to be like regular day shift?
This is a volunteer team, so it's going to be up to the volunteers their hours. And it's going to be up to this group to decide, you know, how long they're going to meet, if they have a little huddle, like twice a month or once a month, if it's 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 20 minutes. They'll decide that, I think. And who decides to break up? We decided last week, well, we not really decided. We had written something different, like the PD or the GM will have the last say, or the last call to judge
assemble
the decision.
Assemble the team.
Yes, but there was a complaint that it takes too much time to locate the PD sometimes, or the GM. A lot of time is lost. So I think it's they didn't like – I thought, who was it? I think Lawrence said, yes, very hard to get a hold of the PD. So another person came on in the public comment who used to volunteer at KPFK, said, have the PD or the GM deputize these breaking news team people. And so they would have the call, whether it's important enough to put on, or the trust of the PD. I mean, if there's some question, I think whoever is manning the control room can call the PD if there's time.
Yes.
What does that sound like to you, Frank?
That sounds good. I was just curious on how the process would be, like who makes the call and then says, yes, assemble the team, get the people out there. And I think I mentioned last time we have a news training program. I've been trying to get the – I talked to Mark Miracle finally about getting the class lessons. I can't think of the final word for that. But the outline of the classes.
Yes.
Anyways, he told me to ask somebody else the what?
Curriculum.
Oh.
No.
The curriculum. Yay. But he directed me to Janine Etter that will give me the curriculum. And so
okay.
I don't know what I'm trying to add to the motion. So I think I'm just driving us away from time to the motion. But we do have something like that at KPFA, but they only get a news assignment one day a week to be somewhere and cover a story. Might not even be breaking.
So
it might just be a story.
I see. So it's a real vetted news segment then. It's not really a breaking, is it?
It's not breaking into interrupting programs. They just get signed out for the to have a deadline to be, come back for the evening news story.
I see. Well, we want to thank them. We want
Jerron for the stack.
Wally for the stack.
And Wally. All right. Jerron, go ahead.
Well, you know, just listening at what is being said now, I think that there probably would need to be for this to happen, unless the only breaking news is coming from this particular team, so that means that they're all over the place. But if the community is involved in announcing the breaking news or alerting people of breaking news, there probably would need to be some sort of a phone number established that people could call to inform people that there is breaking news. Like, how do they reach the people to tell them there's the breaking news?
Okay.
Like a breaking
yes,
news
that's a good
phone
idea.
Number.
That's good because I often do that for TV stations to come out and cover our movement, so they always have a number to call that someone actually answers and I never really had to wait for a call back.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, guys.
Wally,
I'm not on the stack.
Frank,
go ahead.
It's Wally. Yeah, Wally's turn. Wally?
This is
Wally?
Stating the obvious. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Wally. Okay. Stating the obvious, KPFT, we can't go in the building. There's no one you can call that could announce anything. And it doesn't look like we're going to have a building for a while. So just in our case, it's going to make this impossible.
Well, not forever, Wally. We cannot afford to.
Not forever, but it's going to be a lot longer than we wanted, to put it that way.
Yes.
That's all I had to say.
Okay. Who was next? Was it Thomas? No, Frank, I think. Frank, go ahead and finish what you were saying. Hello, Frank? Okay.
Sorry, were you coming back to me?
Yes. You were in the middle of something. I told you Wally had his turn first. Okay. Yeah, Wally told us KPFT cannot do this right away. There's nobody at the station. Okay, Frank, you said about the...
It's all right.
I was just
kind of chatting about, we already had kind of something similar, but it's not breaking news, so... that I would call news stations and they would have a phone number that people would answer. I don't think that's going to be possible. A lot of stations come to think about it. That's another question. There has to be some sort of contact scheme that we can put out a number, maybe a PSA could play at the stations that are able, and then someone could monitor that number. They could have it forwarded to their cell phone. They could have it go instantly to voicemail and then get an alert and check it within, 30 minutes of getting a voicemail, something like that. I mean, that's an option. What else is there? I don't know. I'm not an expert on kind of how to implement this kind of thing.
Okay. Yes. We don't have a breaking news policy nor team, and I don't think it's at any of the stations. I haven't heard from the other stations that they have. I thought KPFA had a breaking news team, but now I was surprised you said there's not. Okay, I just got a text from Harvey. Are you here, Harvey?
Yeah.
Okay, Harvey is here present from KPFK. Okay, good. We're talking about breaking news policy or breaking news team, actually a team. Okay, so go ahead, Thomas, from W.
Yeah, just to support Franklin's idea right there at the end, what he was saying is we could help mitigate the manpower requirements of this, but it would have to be something akin to a tip line. That's what what you used to hear anyway. And we were sort of in conjunction with not just breaking news, but your whistleblower idea, Nancy, which is the next item, but a tip line. But the way he spoke about it is I just learned something that we could not only the number could forward to someone who is not in the station, but it could we could have an outgoing message saying leave a thorough message with a callback number, and then program the system to give various people an alert. And so one person could maybe be charged with calling back to follow up, but several people would be alerted to it, and that's. That would be something important to incorporate into this in terms of – but we already know, though, and Wally's point about not even having this a building available, we already know that some stations don't have a news department per se. So, it's a good idea for those that can implement it with – that have ready available news teams. I think it's a great idea. So, I support it, but recognize that there's still limits within our network at individual stations to carry this out. But it's still a good idea. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else on the stack for this breaking news team?
This is Frank.
Frank, go ahead.
Just one last idea, if it might interest people, is that let's say some stations get this going and we could pull it off. Maybe it's possible that we could, if it's hyper-local, this probably wouldn't apply, but if there's some other breaking news that happens to be local to one station but will have national implications, maybe we could, after we send it out breaking news, maybe we could alert some of the other stations directly to the control room if there's somebody at the board. I don't know how the other stations work with someone at the controls. And, of course, these would be the already approved deputized connections would say, hey, we have a breaking news, and I'm just going to use KPFA for example because that's me, in Berkeley or the surrounding area. It's going to have these national implications. There's a here's a little one-minute blurb or whatever, and we could send it along to them. Maybe they could read it or something. Just an idea adding to the mix there. I'm out.
Yes. And at all the stations, you had somebody in there except KPFT, right? Somebody's in the control room? I mean, that's what I presume. At W, at I, at A, and K? Right, so it's just we do have at KPFT we do have three people in that are doing a news show once a week, 1 hour, and then they're repeated. It's a 10-minute highlight that's repeated during the week. It's called People's News. Okay, Janine Etter from KPFA last year she told us that we asked her how do people call in and with some kind of news, and she said, oh, they call in. And we give it. We pass the news to the one of two people. And I guess one is the program director, and one is somebody else. I can't remember. And they make the decision. I'll go ahead and put it on the air. So they do have a system at KPFA to get things. But it's the two people who make the decision: the program director and I think another person. I forgot who it was.
This is Frank here. I could probably help here. In the news department, we have two veteran news people that have been there a very long time, Mark Miracle and Eileen Alpenderry, and they are co-news directors. So I imagine they get first bite at it, and if they think it's worthy, I think they probably have the confidence of the manager and Laura Privis, the program director, to make the call. If they felt uncomfortable, I think they would go up then to Laura. I don't know if that helps you all in our process, but the two people would probably be the news directors themselves. I think they have the authority to go for it. Unless they felt uncomfortable, then they would probably take it directly to Laura Privis, the PD, or Quincy, the GM, personally. Okay, I'm out.
Thank you, Frank. Yes, so we do have people that are doing covering news among our programmers. Now, it has to be a volunteer basis because we just don't have any idea. Yes, somebody asking to be on the staff? Is it somebody? No, somebody mute your phone then. I hear background noise. So at each of our stations, could we all investigate what's going on at the K and the 2W stations? How does news get breaking news get vetted? If the program director and general manager have confidence in a breaking news team and deputize them to make the decision. It has to be up to them to do, because breaking news needs to be done quickly. So if the program director and the general manager have enough confidence in the stringers or deputized stringers or, I don't know, breaking news team, then, you know, they go with it. If not, if they have the system at KPFA where they have actually news directors that make a decision, then they go to the program director if they're not sure. That's a nice vetting there. At least something gets out, see? At our station, even before COVID, lots of people would call in breaking news. Could y'all mute if you're talking and you're not talking? I'm hearing background noise. We don't get any because programmers are so scared to death. They don't want to be responsible for making a mistake, so we don't have any breaking news at all at KPFT. It's just a miracle if we do. I mean, even before the COVID regime happening. Okay, so to put maybe a sample, we could do it in a detailed sample on the side to pass with this breaking news thing. These are unscheduled and spontaneous, not every hour. And then what Frank is telling us is sometimes a person, a control room, a board op, a engineer will probably need to know a little bit about breaking news to be able to hand things, pass them to a superior or air them. It seems like that person should also be part of the breaking news or at least understand.
Tom to the sack. Thomas.
Yes, Tom. Thomas, go ahead.
I did want to remind that in D.C. at WPFW, we have a news department of approximately 2.5 bodies. In other words, 2.5 full-time people. And we do have, although we don't have, there's a Monday morning show that's a news program, a weekly thing. But most of their efforts on a day-to-day are 5-minute blocks at the top, at the beginning, or at the end of the hour, really, so that a new program starts exactly on the hour rather than 5 minutes after. So the shows end early, and so the last 5 minutes are. But it's not every hour. It's maybe between 8 a.m. and 6, probably 5 times maybe that they'll come on. And I believe usually one person works the entire day. So they'll have a roster of stories, and again, this is a 5-minute blurb, and that would be conducive to being able to take breaking news, because if there is someone there during the day that could incorporate shortly, somehow verify and then broadcast within the 5 minutes. So that's a possibility. But I was saying. But I did think that we should probably, as a committee, take stock and have a good idea of what the news departments of each of the stations are. As we recommend this to the national board, and say this is, you know, these are the stations where this can be implemented probably very quickly with very little, and then others, you know, are going to have to work up to creating some kind of news department of some sort, whether it's all volunteers or not. So, you know, I think that would be a way to sell this to the national board by informing them of the differences in the news capacities for each of the stations and sort of addressing this motion, tailoring it to that. I'm done.
Okay. Okay. We're almost at the top of the hour, time for public comment. So let's have some homework here. Each one of us, if you feel the need, like you haven't Frank already gave us a lot, but if you could just ask the people who make the decisions for this, present our plan and tell them, ask them what would be good. And it might be each station will have to develop their own way according to what, you know, their conditions and situations are different. But ask right. them about what we have written and what would they want to add. I'm glad to hear you have this at D.C. WBAI, I did not hear yet what's going on. Sharon, Ralph, can you tell me anything about who else is here? BAI? A few seconds. Breaking news.
Well, we have very little in terms of breaking news. I think from listening a little more to this, it almost sounds as if we need to set up with one of the stations who has more capacity or possibly more capacity, like a training to see how it would work in one area that can be shared to see if it would be functional in other areas as well as we work towards it.
Oh, you're a beautiful girl.
You know, because that might be something. Then you see, well, this worked, that didn't work. You know, different stuff may or may not work. And just see how it is. Because, you know, at BAI, we still have very little staff. We're working on getting other things done. We got our people doing 3, 4, 5 different jobs at a time. So it might be a little to take on this type of thing. It might be a little strenuous, but part of it too would go along with the training. I understand there's supposed to be some training that we're going to be sharing and take a look at, some training that might be going along with it. And that might be helpful, you know, because right now we're getting a majority of our programs are being sent in because of the COVID. I don't know how long that's going to be lasting, but right now this is where we are, getting everything. So when the person comes in to do the breaking news, whether it's at the end or the beginning of the show or the middle of the show, is like, how do you continue with that show that's being broken into for the breaking news?
Okay. Yeah, with pre-records. Yes, I
understand. Frank, you're at the stack, too.
Okay, Frank. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, we have the I'm not sure who was talking about the headlines at the top of the hour, but we have that at KPFA too. So in the mornings, I believe it starts at like maybe 5 or 6 a.m. Before every show starts, and sometimes even at the half hour, they'll do 5 minutes of headlines, and some of it will be breaking news if it happens between the last headline and the next headline. Sometimes there's breaking news that will get broadcast. So, yeah, KPFA does that as well, and we do it also in the afternoon, I would say starting around 3 o'clock until the news hits at 6 o'clock. So that we probably do our last headlines at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So, yeah, we have – and then also they do time it, so the headlines have to be, like, exactly 5 minutes. And the show is already, if it's pre-recorded, it's already set to be, you know, the exact remainder of the time. Or if it's live, you know, they just dial it in and just, you know, do what they do. So, yeah, we have the headlines, what they call it, the headlines at the top of the hour and the half hour from, like, 3 to 6, excluding the 5 o'clock hour. There's no headlines at 5 or at 5:30. at night. But in the morning we do it, and in the afternoon. 5 days a week only, on the weekdays.
Okay.
Chair, a question for Franklin. Franklin, but you do you culminate with an evening news, your news department?
Yes, and then it culminates with the evening news, yes.
Which is what, an hour or a half an hour? And Monday to
one
Friday?
1 hour on the weekdays, 1 hour on the weekdays, half an hour on the weekends.
Oh, wow. For what time, 6 p.m.?
Always at 6.
Okay. Well, that's a robust news offering, set of offerings for sure. Okay, thank you.
And like I said, a lot of it is done with, like we're talking about, some of the volunteers, because although Mark didn't do a training program during the COVID, when I did talk to him about getting the curriculum, he does want to do it again when it's over, and they do assign people stories that are volunteers. So I really feel like other stations could implement this. And even though they do pay news people, they got Mark and Eileen are probably both either full or almost full time. Or maybe, probably not. They alternate. They're probably sharing some sort of hours. Anyways, they get paid for sure and have benefits. And then there's probably a couple other, there's probably either one, maybe two people below them that may be getting some part-time hours, but they conglomerate a lot of different shows into the news department, so it's hard for me to tell them apart when I try to break it down. So in the newsroom, there's Mark and Eileen and Christina Onnested, and I think the rest are volunteers that do the news program.
All right.
I'm done.
Thank you. Okay, we really do need to have breaking news. It is very important, and it makes us relevant and makes us useful for the public. It's got to start somewhere. We don't have money, so we depend on volunteers, especially
Madam Chair.
Everybody. Yes. Yes,
a set of marching orders. I could recommend that each of us report back next meeting with some sort of news report on the news capacity of each station, like Franklin just did, like I did. I can find out, you know, I'm pretty sure it's 2.5 bodies full-time and the extent of the work that they do. And we could gauge, you know, put that in a chart, and we could see the difference in the capacities, as just, you know, a way to look at this realistically. Because we may end up saying, you know, this motion should be implemented, you know, at the stations that have that capacity already, and, you know, and then sort of trying to train our way into building capacity at the other stations, you know, to eventually meet up. I'm done.
Idea. I don't think we're ready to send this to the PNB, but we will. I think we will decide something to send, because it's very important, and it'll be easy at KPFT. We have all programmers are all volunteers. Nobody gets paid. Does anybody else want to say something before we start doing public comment? Who's talking in there? I wish they could mute. Could y'all mute? If you're not talking, can you mute? Thank you. Okay. Do we have public comment today? Is there some people here? Anybody? Hello?
Madam Chair, let me ask you. Steve on the line, Stephen? Not yet. He had sent me an email.
How about Raymond? He was here last time. Raimundo from KPFK. Okay, if we don't have anybody else, I'm going to keep going, but we'll keep asking for public comment. Okay, so let's try to get this something done by the next meeting and give to the PNB, because this is important. I mean, the programming is so important for the existence of Pacifica, for the continued survival, and for helping the community. I mean,
we've got to make ourselves more relevant and addressing them so that when something comes up, they know. Oh, Pacifica is where they go to. They pick up the phone and they call Pacifica. So we have a good idea having something to record or forward on the telephone line. That's wonderful idea. One of the stations, I think it's KPFK, has a blinking email or blinking telephone number for text or calling. It just blinks on their whatever show is on. I think it's KPFK. All right. Shall we go on to the whistleblower? Is there any public comment? Anybody here? I wonder if they know how to. I wonder if Otis put up the number for the public. Ooh. Okay. I sent to all the board members, the five boards, but I could not. I don't know why. My phone would not let me punch in all the different emails of the WBAI LSB because I don't have a listserv number address for them. They need to get that because the PNB did pass a motion that every station should have some kind of list like WBAI LSB at, you know, WBAI.org or KPFA LSB at KPFT or KPFK.org. I mean, they're supposed to have done that. I think that went out either December or February from the national board. So this needs to get implemented and started. All right.
Public
Let's
comment.
See. Here we are. Somebody on the stack? Was there somebody?
Public comment.
Yes. Oh, thank you, public comment. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So I heard part of your discussion, and I understand this is a criticism. It is a friendly criticism, but I'm sure it really is a criticism. I think the programming committee should focus on programming policy, part of which would allow you to address the whole process of preemptions or the lack of process of preemptions. You know, at WBAI, we used to have a contract for unpaid staff that said that, you know, a programmer gets two program notices, right, whether that's 2 weeks or 2 months, if it's a monthly program or whatever the case is, before they're preempted. And there is such a thing as breaking news or something develops really urgently and someone has to be preempted. But much of the time, the preemptions come at predictable moments because it's a particular event being commemorated or whatever the case is, in which case, you know, staff should have notice well ahead. That process and the process that LSBs are required to ensure exists, a process for program changes and program evaluations. I believe the language is transparent, respectful, collaborative. It doesn't exist at any of the stations. People do not know how program managers, directors make their decisions, and many people, you know, walk on eggshells trying not to annoy the wrong person because they think it could cost them their program. And while it's true, you know, a program is not necessarily an assignment for life and not something you can pass on in a will, which I understand has actually been attempted, you know, people should have a fair degree of certainty about how it works. How long am I on for? Is there an evaluation process? What does that look like? Does it include other producers? Does it include member surveys? Or is it just that it has to please this one particular person on using criteria that nobody else can figure out? So I would like to see the committee trend more towards policy and less towards suggesting programs or things they would like to see changed about the station. But I think what needs to happen maybe is some research into the original mission of the programming committee, which would go back to 2004. And the other thing I would like to ask the committee to take up is the fact that, you know, long before there was any issue with the delay in audits, you know, which came about when a particular person who claimed they were hired permanently and they were not. They were interim, but it came about during their stewardship, shall we say, of the foundation. Long before that audit situation began, and I don't want to discuss the audits, that's the point of my comment, but before that began, KPFK in LA, with a huge signal, had failed in terms of audience numbers. So has the committee looked at the CPB letter, and what steps has management there, whoever is currently in charge of programming, what steps have been made to figure out how far we are from meeting that mark again, or if the mark has changed, how far we are from meeting the mark wherever it is. For KPFT, it was a matter of failure to meet, quote, minority audiences in the most diverse, one of the most diverse cities in the country, where, regardless of what the current status of management is there now, and notwithstanding the pretty horrific out-of-process whitewashing that occurred, whitewash KPFT, kpftwhitewash.info for those who are interested in reading more. Where are we in terms of getting KPFT on track, both for CPB money and obviously serving community needs? So that's a question and maybe a challenge to the committee to deal with the policy more so than, you know, this is my idea for good programming. And on another note, with regard to WBAI, we currently take WPFW's headlines during the weekdays. They begin at 11:55, just before noon, and they go through the 4:45 broadcast weekdays.
5 minutes? 5 minutes before the top?
Yes.
Of the hour?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the same one that Thomas hears in D.C. They identify as being broadcast live on PFW and WBAI.
Yeah, okay.
Hello, Lawrence is in the house.
Hi, Lawrence.
And Steve
and bring for Jack when everybody else is done.
And Steve Zeltzer is in the house, too.
Oh, hi, Steve.
I'd like to speak as well.
Shemaine?
And Lawrence to the back, too, please.
Okay. Shemaine, go ahead and finish. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, I can stop there if others would like to speak. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay, let's see. Now, who was next? Was it Frank or was it Lawrence? I can't remember. Who was it? Which one of you were
it
first?
It was Tom, Steve, and me.
Oh, Tom? Okay, go ahead, Tom. Tom?
Madam Chair, are we still in public comment? So shouldn't they have priority?
Yes, that's true. I'm sorry. But I think Lawrence has very little time with us. Is that right, Lawrence?
No, I'm free now for the next hour, but I think Steve is public comment, and whenever you want to call on me, that'll
okay.
be fine.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to hang on or not. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, thanks for inviting me to the meeting. I think that one of the things that, you know, we've found out recently, this whole struggle that's going on, is that there's a lot more communication with the producers at the different Pacifica stations. I mean, you know, I was unaware of what was going on with KPT, you know, in Los Angeles, or rather Houston, KPTS. So, KPFT, rather. And so I think that one of the things that I want to see developed as a multimedia platform on Pacifica. And one of the things that we can do and should do is have a multimedia program on the Pacifica platform where we could have programming for 24 hours a day, like a Pacifica channel, which would include the local programming in the different stations together. And one of the problems in Pacifica is there are very good programs at different stations. Nobody knows about them. Maybe they know about them in a particular area, but there's no national, like, way of developing support for Pacifica as a network and the programming of the various stations. So this could be developed where we could have a 24-hour channel with the different programs from throughout Pacifica that are on, and then put it on the Pacifica platform, and then also get it on Sirius and possibly and others as the Pacifica network programming nationally. And I think that that would be a very important thing to do. The other thing that I've felt is that young people particularly are on their mobile devices a lot. They don't listen to radio. They're on their mobile devices. So we have to develop live programming and multimedia programming, video programming. So one of the things as well that could be on this national program is like live events, whether it be labor things, like there was a labor thing with Zim, rallies, strikes that are going on around this country. If we had live programming nationally on this Pacifica channel, that would get an audience. And also that would be a way of building up support for Pacifica nationally. There's a miner strike going on in Alabama. To have a live report for that on the Pacifica channel, or there's a strike of UAW Volvo truck workers in Virginia. There are lots of struggles going on, and there is no national labor channel, but having some of these struggles live nationally on a Pacifica channel would be like electricity in the labor movement, that they could hear these struggles and even see these struggles if we can stream them live. So I think part of this development of a multimedia platform is, one, getting the audio programming up, which is a lot easier because we're already producing that, and we can put that together in a 24-hour channel, multimedia channel, and then developing video programming on Pacifica, which is, I think, what the COVID task force directive was, or policy was, that we develop multimedia programming. So I think that's something to work on for the programming committee, and I think now that it looks like we're caught up in our audits, we're going to be able to get grants, and I think that should be something that we should look to in Pacifica to build us up and to build support for us. And also involve young people at the different stations who were interested in this project, because I think that has to be the future, the youth, the young people who are in these struggles. We just did, for example, in Labor Fest, a thing on the people of color in Minneapolis and the art that they produced. And that could have been video, and that could be national on Pacifica. There's a massive amount of art that's been produced around George Floyd, around the attacks on blacks and browns, and also the pandemic has brought a tremendous outburst of art throughout the country, in cities throughout the country. There's been no national programming on that. So I think we need to look at how we can build up this multimedia channel, have audio, and then video, and then develop it and build it up. And I think that it's a feasible thing and something that we should work on for the programming committee, and I'm willing to help. And I think other members of the COVID task force and CRD are willing to support this project as well. So I think that would be a good start.
Sounds delicious. Anybody with a question or comment? And I'm going to include public comic people and the committee people all in one, because we don't have too much time to get together and share things. All right,
Thomas to the side, Chair.
Okay. Was anybody, was Lawrence or Tom or somebody else wanted to speak?
I will go after Tom. I think Tom was ahead of me.
Okay. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
I don't want
Tom
to jump
here?
Sorry.
Tom, are you here? He had to leave earlier. Is he still here? Tom? Borges? I think he left already. He was going to work on Monterey. Go ahead, Lawrence.
No, I meant to say Tomas. Thomas from W. I'll go after him.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you, Lawrence, for that. It was simply to say, Steve, thank you for coming on. What you're talking about also, I think, should be both the programming committee at the national level and the technology committee or technology task force, which has been getting off the ground. And I will And you know Jim Dingham, and I think we're going to meet again at some point this month. But these are two things. This is an item that should be worked at from as many sides as possible. And it's absolutely a fantastic idea in my estimation because it not only would integrate the network more strongly and help to build stations that need resources in certain areas to equalize their capacities, but it also seeks to grow the so-called brand and the idea of a labor channel on a national level, a channel that features live street breaking news from the street. Would be stupendous, and I certainly will volunteer to work on this as well. Thank you for ceding my time, your time, Lawrence. Go ahead.
Thank you, and I'd like to completely endorse what Serene said earlier. I was fortunate to catch most of what she had to say in regards to CPB and Steve's idea and. As the convener of the COVID task force, we just started off as a task force and a bunch of discussions, and as it became a national program, COVID Race and Democracy, which is a excellent program, I want to dial back to the CPB issue because CPB is a very integral part of us being viable, right? And one of the ways that it's viable is that the programming is relevant to the communities that are in the bylaws that say it's underserved communities. And there's a lot of underserved communities. The reason why KPFT lost its funding was for lack of diversity, which is still a systemic problem. And KPFK lost it as a result of audience. And I remember when I was on the cab, with Julie Cesar Chavez's granddaughter, and the diversity we had on the cab, we were able to obtain a $137,000 grant from the CPB as we would declare a minority station at the time. The numbers reflected that, and we were able to do a community needs assessment that addressed that. So. I completely endorse when Serene says we should look at the CPB letters and edify ourselves in regards to what is relevant to our listeners. And remember, for lack of a better word, the product of our network is programming. And I want to remind everybody that the labor programming that Steve and the COVID task force produced on May Day on the Pacifica YouTube channel was almost 24 hours nonstop with programming reflecting the labor struggles on May Day 2 years ago, I believe it was, and how powerful that was. And, we have to thank Paulina, Steve, and Akua and others in regards to producing that 24-hour Pacifica YouTube channel, and it was streamed on Pacifica.org as well. So so we have precedent, and while I'm hoping that the committee does return to its original charter or purpose in regards to, it seems like whenever we suggest programming, that reflects the communities, all of a sudden it becomes, the word micromanage gets surfaced. Oh, we're micromanaging programming. Well, I agree with Serene that we have to do more on policy, and I don't know if that's exactly what she said, but we have to do more on policy and our charter and our purpose as a committee in order to be viable and have standing, right? So I'd like us to take a look at those CPB letters, and I could request them as a director. I'll be more than happy to do that, and so can Thomas and Tom, whatever directors are on the line, and we could hopefully have those letters for the Nets programming committee meeting so we could take a look at it and to see how, now that we're caught up with our audits, maybe we could shift into another gear and, you know, regain our CPB funding and also the opportunity to apply for grants. There is an emergency preparedness grants that that this pandemic highlighted, and we, you know, a lot of the stations are not, do not have emergency preparedness plans in place, so we could obtain grants to do that, as it was reported by the IED at our last PNB meeting. So there are opportunities to sustain our network. And then the other thing is, you know, I have a son that's a 23-year-old. One of the reasons I'm still in this fight, because he was a subscribed listener and he still is. But like Steve said, these kids are on their phones. They are on, they're listening to podcasts. They are accessing social media. They are accessing media through other platforms. So we definitely need to emphasize going into the 21st century in regards to multimedia platforms. And I know at one time New York had a had a proposal on the table that we should take a look at reviving. So we definitely need to bring in the future. I need to bring my son back into KPFK and into listening to terrestrial radio, as well as not inhibiting him from listening to his other platforms. So I just wanted to add that, but I completely agree that we need to shift into looking at the CPB letters to see what it is that we could encourage in regards to programming. The KPFT whitewash is a prime example of the underrepresentation and the marginalization of BIPOC people in regards to programming, where we have an opportunity because all of our stations represent a certain demographic and a certain geographic in regards to underserved and underrepresented communities as reflected in the bylaws. So I just had a couple of cups of coffee, so I'm definitely going at a mile a minute here. But I just wanted to definitely associate myself with the comments that were made in regards to especially the comments that Serene and Steve Seltzer made in public comment. I think they were very astute, and I appreciate it. So thank you, Chair, for allowing me this time, and I'll be here for the next 45 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Next, a public comment, Serene? Anything more? okay. Wait.
Well, I think, you know...
Steve, thank you.
Yeah, this is Steve. Maybe we can get a working committee, if there's agreement on the programming committee, a working committee to work on this idea of a multimedia 24-hour channel, Pacifica Channel. And I think that I think it's possible to get funding for it, and it should be a project to present, you know, to Pacifica, the PMB, and to say, let's look at developing this. And I think that would be important. The other thing is trainings of young people. There are young people who train me how to use technology. I mean, the reality is that a lot of us are, are learning from young people how they're already using the technology and social media. I mean, and so I think it would be a great way of integrating the struggle of young people who are using social media in their struggles and their lives and integrate it into Pacifica. And that would really be exciting for young people to have a national platform where their voices could be heard, their struggles, their issues. That would be very powerful. Then Pacifica would start, really attracting young people and seeing us as a vehicle to bring their struggles together nationally. We, as I said, we had this panel, and I just sent it to a number of you, on murals, you know, artists in Minneapolis, and it was a we have a slideshow that they produce, but young people are producing things all over the country, and to have them on a national channel of Pacifica would be a great thing to do for to encourage them to participate. So that's, you know, I think that that would be one way of going. I think with their support throughout Pacifica, and it's not an exclusive thing. It's not one program or one station. It's all of us working together that could bring this about.
Thank you. Does that include, when you say multimedia, does that include podcasting?
Yes, yes. I mean, if, the different stations, for example, KPFA, they have a podcast list, a podcast area. You know, you can go and get the podcast. But what we found out, and Garrison, is you can't find out how many hits you're getting. One of the ways of measuring, you know, like Nielsen, but one of the ways of measuring who's paying attention, who's listening, is to have how many people are going to your podcast, how many people are watching you or listening to you. And I think we have to, you know, it's not what, it's not a basis of what we produce, but it is a basis of who's paying attention to you. And as we know, I mean, Pacifica right now and the stations have very, very low listenership. I mean, even though we have great broadcast signals covering millions, and in the Bay Area we cover a potential 12 million people could be listening, and it's a pittance. There are only, you know, very few members of Pacifica or KPFA. So I think when we talk about a multimedia platform, it would include podcasts, all media, and, you know, also I think obviously who's listening to it. I mean, one of the things, again, about social media, young people are on social media. They're using it to get their stories, their struggles out, and we have to find a way of integrating that into Pacifica, so that our platform, our, you know, platform is including those struggles and stories in a popular way. And we're, our producers and are doing some of that in, at individual stations, but it's not brought together nationally.
Okay, so why don't we try to find programmers at our separate stations who are into podcasting and who would like to help us with integrating a multimedia platform or a multimedia channel, a channel where we have videos and audios and podcasting. You put that on that channel too, everything included.
Yeah. Well, if the stations already have podcasting areas, like KPFA has a podcasting area, why not have that together with the other stations that are doing podcasting? Right now, it's like they're segregated. They're just KPFA or WBAI or, you know, WPFW. They're separated. If we can have this national platform of Pacifica, if we could include all the podcasts being produced by Pacifica stations, by topic, by issue, much like AudioPort. You know, you can go to AudioPort, but you have to be, of course, a member. But, you know, you can find out different things that are going on. We could do the, we could do, if we're producing these podcasts at different stations, put them together all together, you know, on the Pacifica channel so people could watch or see all the things that we're producing. And the same thing with issues, labor, black movement, brown movement, climate. We could have all the climate programs that we have on Pacifica. On a, and that would draw people. People want to find out what's happening on Pacifica, on climate. Boom, they go to this this website, or they, you know, and they can see this is what Pacifica is producing.
Well, it sounds wonderful. I mean, climate, labor, environment. Did you say other words too?
The black movement, brown movement, music. I mean, art and music. I mean, you know, there's great stuff being produced now. I mean, so that would be a bringing a leverage in or bringing together what's already being produced and putting it on the Pacifica platform would be a way of people seeing what Pacifica is offering. People really don't understand the value of Pacifica. Many people don't even know about KPFA, for example.
Indigenous programming networks.
Indigenous programming, absolutely. Having, if you could have all the indigenous programming on a Pacifica channel, with links to those
Lydia.
Programs?
That
would be powerful.
Okay. Lydia? Steve, are you finished?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Lydia from KPFK.
The interesting concept. Yeah. The interesting thing is about Indigenous radio, you know, then that means that we have to be better relatives over here with KPFK and stop threatening to deny and erase the contributions to Native American Airways. I know that they've been called, for example, at the last minute to fill in 4th of July or some other programming last year. I don't know about this year. But to speak to that is to say we have a small coalition of environmental groups on a Slack chat, and I have to actually improve the communications there because people are forgetting to use it. I've been involved in the more recent environmental issues with regards to the city of Los Angeles and how they poorly responded to the emergency climate emergency mobilization department. We were supposed to have a whole department, and they whittled it down to an office because, of course, the police really need a lot of money. They need a huge budget, the biggest part of our budget in the general from the general fund. So what I'm saying is that it would be easy to access well-versed and good-meaning environmental groups. However, the objective has always been to be inclusive in regards to not just the fancy word for, you know, post the pandemic and post the racial and social rise. It's really living it, because I find it extremely difficult to have environmental issues presented in a white frame lens, and all that I know is that currently people like Al Gore and people like that are basically executive directors to other organizations want or need to sell a green capitalism, an environmental capitalist future. And I really don't want, we really have to be careful when we talk about environmental issues. And we definitely should be offering time to our local tribal people. And if they're not on the radio already with all of us on the line, then there's a big problem that we should really address. And I'm open to it. I'm not the Indian keeper. I don't gatekeep. I just know that the inequity starts with the local Indigenous tribes to every single radio station. And I'd be more than happy to help facilitate any kind of bridge building or communications proper. And people can't just say they've disappeared, we killed them off, because we're still here. And that's that. Great that you opened it up, though. Thank you. Thank you for opening up the discussion.
Does KPFK have an Indigenous show, and about how long? Is it one show, two shows?
The show, sorry about that, I'm in my car. The show's been running for about, what, 30 years, Lawrence?
Oh, yeah, you mean American Indian Airways? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been running for a long minute. It's not the problem. It always seems to be under threat of cutting, being cut when budgets are cut or funding's funny or whatever it is. I don't think that Indigenous organizations and tribal people on the air should have to raise money, especially when everyone's benefiting from stolen land and it was never ceded. It was never ceded. It's unceded land on this entire continent. But let's not, you know, talk about the bigger things. Let's talk about the small things. If we don't have local tribal people on the air reporting their community needs and or news and celebrations of culture and their life, then we're really doing a poor job, all of us, me included. And it's all of our responsibility to reimagine a new community. And it's all of our responsibility to unlearn and learn again these bad habits of being colonized people and having assimilated into this idea that working hard is going to get us ahead, and blood, sweat, and tears, you know, generational trauma that's led to believing all these lies.
Well, this brings us back to the setting up of rules and regulations for programmers and other people who have shows in terms of how their turnover, how their shows are switched around, how their shows are removed, you know, how they're evaluated. And a lot of that is stuff that is not being considered within the stations themselves, and it's something that we need to look at as a major part of programming.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Okay. Nancy has a question for the committee. What do you think about the local station programming committees taking over a, not taking over, but doing evaluation of shows as recommendations to the management? It's always been left to the PD, and in our case, in history, man, it was like, I don't know how many years, like half a decade went by before we got one done. And then it was done by having five or six programmers evaluate all the shows. And it just seems like maybe the program directors, is it that they don't want to evaluate, they're too busy, or they feel fearful to do so, they don't want to say anything bad, or they're afraid of the programmers? I mean, what do you think if the programming committee at each station were to do that? And also, not only evaluate, but promote, you know, come up with suggestions or ideas, maybe giving them to the outreach committee to promote these shows and also to make suggestions to the shows. I mean, I would like that. I would like to see that a requirement. If it's not done by the programming committee, by somebody, because you don't just cut off a show without giving them some kind of, you know, suggestion or work. I mean, don't just you know, cut a show. Somebody talk. Somebody
Madam Chair.
Yes. Who asked for this?
Point of order. Yeah, this is Thomas. What you're speaking of right now is pertinent to motion number three, which is on our agenda, but which we have not discussed in some months, because I know we discussed it. Wasn't this introduced originally by people at BAI? Sharon, I believe you were a part of that, right, introducing motion three?
Yes.
And this is exactly getting to what both of you are speaking of, and, you know, in terms of policies. And before we start evaluating individual programs, we need to make sure that all the stations are sort of meeting these basic goals, don't we think? I'm done.
Well, yeah, these goals.
That are contained in motion three, that I should say. I'll be there.
Okay, we've gone over the time, that, you know, the hour and a half, and I don't want people to get burned out, but let me say this. So we need to get these program committees done at the stations, because they can still do something even if they cannot go to the station, and we can get into number four, Bill of Programmers' Rights. And we really need some more input from more programmers. I feel, especially those that have lost their shows, and if they've lost two or three or four or five or six, seven shows, I really would like to hear their input. Can y'all sort of ask those people to come on our next meeting? The more programmers we have, especially those who have been ill-served, taken advantage of, or mistreated, yeah, they have something to say. Okay, I want to go to the next date. Well, July 25th is the last Sunday of this month. Is that okay with everybody?
Chair, this is Lawrence. Seek recognition.
Yes. Who's that? Lawrence? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So July 25th is a very important day in the history of the Caribbean people, which... we dealing with invasions from Spain, dealing with invasions from the United States on Caribbean land, Cuba, the day of the revolution. Puerto Rico was invaded by the United States in 1898. And so I say that to say that that's a day that I will not be available, because I'm we are having events commemorating not commemorating the invasion, but highlighting and engaging in decolonization activities out here in Los Angeles anyway. So I would not be available.
What time does it start, Lawrence?
It starts at 11 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, which I think is the same time that the meeting is scheduled for.
Can schedule our meeting a little bit earlier since one of our committee members cannot join anymore. And for that purpose, we changed it to 2 p.m. Eastern. So we can change it back to 1:30 Eastern. That's 30 minutes earlier. That means 1:30. Let's see. What is that? 1:30, 12:30, 11:10. A big 10:30 Pacific time.
Don't let me inhibit you from scheduling a meeting. I will be, as one of the lead organizers, I will not be available that whole day.
I see. Do you have a video camera? Get somebody with a video camera. That would be wonderful to put on our TV channel, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm definitely going to send Steve Seltzer. And as a matter of fact, I have to have a conversation with him about that. So.
Also, if I could speak on that, I mean,
go ahead, Steve.
The organizers of this thing, we should try to partner with them and let them know if they can do a video feed of it. That could be on the channel that we're doing. In other words, if we knew ahead of time that this event is happening, and if it's going to be broadcast stream live, put it on our Pacifica channel.
That's something I will bring up at the next planning meeting, which is later on today, Steve, for sure.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. And that way, a lot of organizations and groups who we collaborate with, we can integrate them into the programming of the events and activities they're doing. And, so it's part of Pacifica. It should be part of Pacifica.
And if we had a button on each one of our station's website, and then we would announce it, then everybody could who has internet access could watch it live.
Exactly.
Oh, and let me just say this before we go. Is it possible that you could send out that information so people can read up on it? Maybe when we have our next meeting, we'll be able to discuss it.
Discuss it means the...
The proposal.
Mm-hmm. The what? The what?
Number four, regarding the policies and the programming issues and stuff like that I had proposed a while back.
Okay. Your programming, local station programming committee, it's motion three on today's agenda. And
right.
About the making program a bill of a national bill of programmers' rights, that's a different separate one, number four. So we still need some input on that. I'm hoping Mimi Rosenberg sent me some things that they're working on at BAI. If anybody at the other stations has something about programmers' rights or grievance process or anything they have done that, or maybe suggestions that have not been done, please check with your station's programmers and find out. Even if it's, they report to you and you report to the committee, like they don't want to say it with their voice. Okay, so July 25th, I will send out the minutes of this meeting, July 25th, the Sunday, the last Sunday of the month, is 1:30, okay, Eastern, instead of 2. Because we were making 1:30 before, and then we changed to 2, hoping that Philip would come, but he couldn't come. So do you want to go back to 1:30, or you like this time? I'm asking the committee.
I don't object.
I have no objections to going back.
Going back. Okay. So 1:30 Eastern time, and that will be 10:30 Pacific time. Okay. I want to thank everybody who came today and all the public comments. I don't know who the lady, I should not say. She never said her name. I'm sorry. Steve and everyone, the committee. Okay. Let's try to be thinking and doing something
I'll try to send something on email. I'd love to hear your comments, and then kind of investigate your programmers. Get talking with them about the news, about things, especially about these number three and number four. Okay, thank you, everybody. Shall we adjourn?
Yes.
Yes, I so move, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right. We are adjourned.